Good morning and welcome to this special edition of Medical Matters, where this morning we are doing an interview. Good morning to you, Darryl.
And good morning to you, Wayne, and good morning to the listeners out there as well.
And just before we do get underway, this is an interview that's going to go the full time. We're not taking any talkback calls this morning, so a special edition with a special guest who is...
Well, it's Dr. Chris Lekich, and Chris I've known for a long time. Chris is actually a microsurgeon and a phlebologist, and he's the CEO of Miami Private Hospital. So, Chris, you're going to talk this morning about lipedema.
Good morning, Darryl, and good morning, Wayne. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah.
Yes, lipedema. It's
Well, I think it's fascinating. I mean, we've had a little chat before we came on air this morning, and... Lipedema is a condition that affects 10 to 15% of females, and like I think most other doctors, I'd never heard of it. So I think it's a bit of groundbreaking stuff, Chris. So can you tell us what lipedema really is?
Well, Darryl, lipedema is a diseased fat condition that almost exclusively affects women.
Okay.
It's hormonally driven,
uh-huh,
and it's inflammatory.
Uh-huh.
And it's a condition that cannot be exercised or dieted away and is often confused for a condition called lymphedema, which most people know what that means, swelling of the legs.
So the lower limbs particularly?
Yes, and it can occur in the arms. So more often than not, patients would realize that you can get lymphedema following breast mastectomy surgery,
yes, so swelling. With that, yes.
You can get it in your legs from genetic causes that may develop later in a person's life,
uh-huh,
lymphedema tardive. However, most doctors know the word lymphedema as in a swollen limb and a swollen leg. What they don't know is the word lipedema, which is a diseased fat.
So just to refresh for a moment, edema is a swelling of a limb. It's probably a little more common, I would imagine, in the lower limb. And there's probably three causes. There'd be heart failure,
mm-hmm,
there'd be lipedema, and there'd be lymphedema. And lymphedema often follows surgery, as you said, for breast.
Or genetic causes, whereas lipedema is a swollen limb where it doesn't react the same way to the pressure, which leaves an indent. It's actually a fat that feels almost fibrotic and in the early stages like little rice grains in the limbs of women. And it usually affects both legs symmetrically as opposed to lymphedema that might affect one limb only.
Would I have seen a case of this? I don't think I've ever seen a case
of
this.
You would have seen it and not seen it. Once seen...
Yeah.
Cannot be unseen. It's like a spot diagnosis. So you can have women that look completely normal at the top half, and in fact, usually it starts in puberty. So these young girls all of a sudden notice changes in their legs, and it absolutely causes a great deal of psychological stress as they try to exercise, diet. There's no way you can get rid of this fat or even weight loss surgery. If patients develop some secondary obesity because they struggle to walk, then that even compounds the difficulty for appropriate people to make diagnoses.
And body image is so important, isn't it, today, these days? Well, has been for a long time.
Wayne, you're absolutely right. With Instagram and Facebook.
Social media in general, it's scary, and this would just add to their problem.
So for all the girls out there, Chris is just showing Wayne and I a few pictures, and it really is quite dramatic. You know, it's people that are fairly from the waist up of normal proportion, but their lower limbs are much, much bigger than normal, depending on how mild or severe the case is.
So the commonly used terms like cankles.
Oh, yes, I've heard that. Yes,
so
heard
normal
that.
Feet.
Yep.
But big swelling up to the ankles, including the ankles. That's one variant of it.
Mm.
And the tuck shop arms.
Mm. Oh, drug shop. I've certainly heard of that.
And and if you ask any of those women, which obviously you won't, Daryl, walk up and ask them because
I am a bit on the spectrum, so I could do something.
Well,
like
you
that.
Could. You could actually say, "Is this a condition that changed your legs and your arms when you were a young lady, or other hormonal causes during pregnancy?" And the biggest insult in terms of the pain and morbidity of this condition is menopause. So the condition is progressive. It gets bigger and bigger, and women not only suffer physically, they quite psychologically suffer as well.
What can these girls do to make this lipedema go away? Because that would be my first and most obvious question, I think.
Well, the first thing they can do is actually become aware of the condition. As you pointed out, Wayne, the psychological impact is quite amazing. Yes. So women in their early days will start exercising. We often hear they go to the gyms and they knock themselves out at the F45s and the Snap Fitnesses. And everyone else is tracking, and yet they can't lose the weight. They lose it in their face, their abdomen, but it's stuck in their legs. They've got the pain factor, which people don't understand why they might struggle with movement of the legs. So an awareness is a good place to start.
So, Chris, can people with this condition, can they sort of run normally, or is the weight in their lower limbs, assuming that's the lower limb that's affected, the weight in the lower limbs,
does that
inhibit them from...
Well, by the time they start progressing with their weight, as you can see, they really start struggling to even walk. And in the extreme case, they'll be wheelchair-bound, they'll be immobile.
Goodness me.
So this
will you describe it?
Well, I'm showing for your listeners photos to the audience here of a lady who was in her 60s and she had a beautiful little waist, but for 40-plus years was told by doctors, you're overweight, you're fat, you're lazy, and in fact even told, why are your jaw shut? And in fact, she was on a calorie restriction diet.
So they wired her jaw shut?
No, that was a suggestion from one doctor.
Goodness me.
This lady, taking all the advice on, thinking she was overeating, was actually doing the wrong thing. So you asked, Daryl, what can these girls do? First, they need to get an understanding, that missing piece of the puzzle, that validation that it wasn't their fault, it's a disease. That's the first thing they can do. The next thing they can do is adopt a conservative management program with therapies that can help reduce the discomfort and the pain. Unfortunately, it doesn't make the fat go away.
So the pain. So why do they get the pain? Is it just because they're lifting heavier weights in their lower limbs?
No, because it is it's an unusual fat, and we don't fully understand it, and it's being heavily researched. However, it's an inflammatory fat that doesn't respond to all the usual measures such as diet, exercise, weight loss surgery, pills, potions and powders. So if patients are eating a diet that is very laden with carbs, it's very inflammatory. So that's why they have a lot of pain, because of the inflammation.
Oh, so their legs are inflamed
because
of the condition.
And they're tender and they bruise easily.
Ah, goodness me. I mean, you know, the pictures you showed, we've all seen people, you know, in the supermarket and in the food courts
and
like
particular,
that.
That extreme case that you've showed us pictorially there, there is no help to reduce that.
Yeah,
well, only tolerate it.
Sadly, in this case, Wayne, this lady's tissue has gone from perhaps a soft fat when she was young in puberty to getting more and more progressed and fibrosed, and consequently, this has led to lymphedema. It's scarred the lymphatics.
Those
legs are rock hard now, and she develops all the consequences of the ulcers and infections.
Terrible.
So what you're telling us is that really it's just almost palliative treatment for these these women that have got this condition in the extreme case. You can't sort of surgically sort of take fat out. And
For that lady, it's, yes, it's beyond surgery. With the right awareness and the right conservative management program, patients will become more comfortable. Their fat will get softer, and unfortunately, it can't be taken away. Now, we have an explosion in our community now with liposuction. So many people are doing liposuction.
Well, it seems logical to me.
Yeah,
just looking at
but
it.
But the problem is this disease does not behave like the typical fat that comes out with smooth operators that will get out smooth and soft fat. This fat is quite fibrosed, and it actually needs a very specific protocol of surgery. So unfortunately in Australia, we've had women for the last 10 to 15 years travelling to Germany to have the surgery in the epicenter of
lipodystrophy. Well, that's if they know about
surgery.
It. I mean, yeah. I mean I'm certainly not a general practitioner, and my knowledge is very narrow, but, you know, I feel for these people because I suspect they'd go to their doctor and he wouldn't or she wouldn't be able to make the correct diagnosis because
it's
such a rare condition.
Early identification a big help?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That is definitely the message we should get out there.
Absolutely. So for young women who may suspect the condition, rather than going down the wrong path of eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, overdoing the exercise, with the right education, give patients the relief. We can give them the understanding.
I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? The understanding, because these people have just been sort of sidelined and sort of, you know, jaw wiring. You're a bad person.
Absolutely, and they're shamed. Their body fat shamed, and their doctors, simply because they don't understand the condition, and they're confused as to why the patient sitting in front of me doesn't respond to exercise or dieting, then they're often dismissed as having
So is there a genetic component
to
this?
Yes, there is a genetic component. In fact, it's a condition where I will often in my consultation room have grandmother, daughter and granddaughter all in the same room. Goodness. And they show us pictures of
So it's passed from females to females, never to males.
It's not fully understood, the genetics, but there is a genetic component, and most patients will have a family member that's affected. So the conservative management is the most important step after an understanding, not having cosmetic surgery. And the protocol of surgery where I trained in Germany with Dr. Heck, who's been doing this surgery for 20 years, was to adopt a surgery that all of the fat is removed from the hips all the way down to the ankles, so it does not return. So, Wayne, to your point, the sooner patients identify this, the better they can conservatively manage it. And for those who are progressing, surgery is a very good option.
So you said liposuction doesn't work. So how do you actually do the surgery? What do you actually do?
So it is a form of liposuction. However, it is a lymph-sparing water technique which is designed to remove all the diseased fat from below normal skin and normal fat all the way down to the deeper layers. So by removing it all, the tissue doesn't grow back, as opposed to doing some body contouring and shaping, or maybe doing a 360 degree, a bit off the arms, a bit off the tummy, off the legs. You have to remove it all.
So what's the youngest and what's the oldest patient that you've done surgery on?
Well, the youngest was a 15-year-old who came over from Adelaide with her family. And my advice was that we educate her, and at some point in time we felt that she would need surgery. The moment I told them, maybe we should see you in a year or two She just burst out crying, and it was quite obvious that it was progressing quickly. So I got a second opinion. I got her to see a psychologist, as obviously a tender age, and there was no doubt, talking to Germany, that she was best served to have a surgery. And at the age of 16, she had all three surgeries on her legs, a staged surgery to remove it.
So Wayne and I are privileged to be looking at these pictures. Chris, do you have a website that people can go on to that we could tell them so that they can do this in the privacy of their own home?
Well, we have...
By the looks of things, they can almost make their own diagnosis if they sort of look at some of your photos.
And most people do come along with their own diagnosis, but they need a confirmation. Because they're GPs or specialists, don't know about the condition. This is why a lot of women join the forums for self-help.
Yes.
Significant. So the facility is called Lipedema Surgical Solutions. We operate out of Miami Private Hospital, and Walk with Freedom is our Instagram page. And a lot of women share their stories. On Facebook, for instance, there's a lot of case studies they can see. For instance, this lady's 35. That's halfway through a surgery. That's both legs that we've done, and that's the fat that I've removed that she can't exercise or diet away.
And this is just extraordinary.
And they don't need long cuts to remove the fat. And this girl, since has had a baby, her second baby, and the fat hasn't returned.
So this is all on Lipedema Surgical Solutions website.
Correct.
I just think that. So what's the oldest person you've actually operated on?
76 going on to 77.
And a good result?
Great result. Obviously, the older the patient, they have more comorbidities, develop other conditions that obviously we need to be more mindful, have the anaesthetist, the specialist, their cardiologist, etc. involved. But the surgery allows them this protocol so they can walk off the operating table. They have a good recovery. We use a lot of ultrasound to manage them.
So Chris, you're speaking with a lot of passion about this topic. How did you fall into lipedema?
Well, Darryl, we met in 1995. At that stage, I was pursuing an eye career. Then wife had a blood clot in varicose veins. I needed to change career paths as a result.
Sure.
I had a vasectomy by the world pioneer of microsurgery, who then put me on the course of microsurgery. And then along the way, I had this German reach out when I was treating varicose veins as my career path changed as a phlebologist. I always knew for the last 15 years about this condition. I managed it conservatively, but it was
overwhelming. So a chance meeting effectively with Professor Heck caused you to sort of develop it?
Absolutely.
And
to realise the surgery could be life-changing for these girls. Absolutely.
And
right.
The fact that they're not being taken seriously and not being effectively believed, that's terrible.
At the diagnosis, even though women suspect they have it, the moment I make the diagnosis, they virtually all break into tears.
Well, a sense of relief.
A validation.
Would be extreme.
Correct.
The take-home point for our listeners, what would you say to people out there listening now, thinking to themselves, well, gee, I might be one of those 15% of the female population.
Correct.
What can they do? What should they do? What are the steps now to take?
If they have a disproportionate fat that developed normally in their younger years, they should really look up the word lipedema.
Chris, your message of early detection is really so important. Thank you so much for joining us today, Darryl. Once again, thank you so much. Yeah. And to everyone out there, if you've missed a bit of this and you would like to make contact, we'll have all the details for contact and more information at our reception, so they can call 5520 8888 and get those details. Once again, thank you kindly, Chris.